I found $80 in organic starts and 3 months of growing time because I didn't understand the one invisible law of vertical gardening, but the money wasn't the real loss. It was the smell of that gray, anaerobic slime that used to be a root system. Vertical victory, high yield in tiny spaces, is the only way to turn a cramped urban graveyard into a literal wall of food. But if you don't understand the physics of what's happening behind the plastic and the felt, you are just building a high-rise tomb for your plants. I remember standing over a vertical tower of strawberries that should have been sagging with red, sweet fruit. Instead, the leaves were a sickly, translucent yellow, and the whole structure smelled like a stagnant pond. I had followed the influencers, I had bought the expensive pockets, I had crowded those plants in because I was greedy for the yield. But when I reached my hand into the bottom tier to see why the drainage felt sluggish, my fingers sank into a cold, gray sludge. That failure taught me that in a tiny space, your biggest enemy isn't a lack of sun or a lack of dirt, it's the suffocation of the soul of the plant. If you've ever seen a vertical garden start strong and then suddenly collapse into a soggy, wilted mess, you've met the monster I'm talking about. Before we fix the physics, I want you to look for something the next time you're inspecting a crowded planter. Look for the pale vein. It's a specific, ghostly white line that appears on the underside of a leaf, running perfectly parallel to the main stem, even when the rest of the leaf looks deep green. Most people think it's just a variegation or a quirk of the light, but the pale vein is actually a scream for help. It is the first sign of the garden ghost, a silent killer that is stalking your vertical rows. We aren't going to talk about what that vein actually means until we get through the mechanics, but if you see it today, stop watering immediately. The Farm Fresh way isn't about buying a plastic tower from a late-night infomercial and stuffing it with miracle soil. That is Big Ag, thinking shrunk down for the suburbs. Big Ag wants you to believe that plants are just machines where you input chemicals and output calories. They want you to believe that as long as the roots are wet, the plant is happy. But homesteading intuition tells us something different. It tells us that a plant is a living, breathing organism that needs circulation just as much as it needs hydration. In a traditional garden, the earth is a massive, porous lung. It breathes through the worms, the cracks in the clay, and the natural heave of the frost. When you take that plant and you shove it into a vertical pocket or a stacked pot, you are effectively putting it in a plastic bag. You are removing the lung. The philosophy here is simple. We are not growing up just to save space. We are growing up to harness the power of gravity and airflow. If you treat your vertical garden like a horizontal garden stood on its end, you will fail every single time. You have to think like a mountain climber, not a flatlander. Every level of your vertical system has a different microclimate. The top is a desert baked by the sun and whipped by the wind. The middle is a jungle, humid and crowded. The bottom is a swamp, where every drop of excess water from the top tiers eventually settles. If you put a thirsty kale at the top and a sun-loving pepper at the bottom, you are fighting against the natural order of things. Vertical victory comes when you stop trying to force the plants to adapt to the container and start building the container to mimic the mountain. The air carries the scent of bruised mint and damp cedar, the kind of smell that only happens when you've successfully balanced a high-density system. You can feel the coolness radiating off the leaves, a microclimate of oxygen that actually drops the temperature on your patio by 5 degrees. Now let's get into the tactical deep dive of the air gap secret. Most vertical systems fail because of hydrostatic compression. When you stack soil 3, 4, or 5 feet high, the weight of the water at the top starts to crush the soil at the bottom. It turns your expensive potting mix into a dense anaerobic brick. This is where root rot begins. The secret to preventing this isn't better soil, it's the air gap. Imagine a vertical column. Instead of a solid mass of dirt, you have a central core of coarse, 3/4-inch lava rock or recycled plastic mesh that runs from the very top to the very bottom. This is the lung of the system. The air gap creates a pressure differential. As water moves down through the soil pockets, it's naturally drawn toward that porous center core. This does two things. It prevents the bottom tiers from becoming waterlogged, and it allows oxygen to reach the heart of the root zone from the inside out. I remember a war story from my second year trying to grow vertical potatoes in burlap bags. I had them stacked 4 high, thinking I was a genius. By July, the bags at the bottom were literally leaking a foul black liquid. When I cut them open, the potatoes hadn't just rotted. They had fermented. They were mush. If I had simply inserted a perforated 4-inch PVC pipe down the center of those bags, an air gap to let the gases escape and the oxygen in, I would have walked away with 50 pounds of tubers. When you're building your high-yield system, you have to be a genetic thief with your space. You don't just plant the pockets, you plant the in-between. If you have a vertical tower, the space between the pockets is prime real estate for climbing companions. I once grew a full crop of snap peas using the exterior mesh of a strawberry tower as a trellis. The peas fixed nitrogen in the soil, which the strawberries desperately needed, and the strawberries shaded the base of the peas, keeping the roots cool. It's a conversation over the fence, a partnership between species. You are looking for those win-win scenarios. Avoid the pitfall of the uniform feed. Big Ag tells you to mix a gallon of fertilizer and dump it in the top. Don't do that. The top tier is a high-flow zone. It flushes out fast. The bottom tier is a low-flow zone. It accumulates salts. You need to fertigate with precision. Feed the top tiers heavily, but use only plain water for the bottom tiers for 3 out of every 4 waterings. Gravity will do the work of carrying the nutrients down to the bottom. If you feed the whole tower equally, you will burn the roots of your bottom plants while starving the ones at the peak. The sun is beating down on the back of my neck. I can feel the heat radiating off the brick wall behind my planter. My hands are caked in a mixture of perlite and compost, the grit scratching against my skin. I reach for the scissors, my breath catching, as I see the first signs of the collapse. The leaves are heavy, waterlogged, drooping with a weight that isn't health, it's death. I have to act now, or the whole tower is gone. This brings us to the most technical part of the vertical victory, the chimney effect. In a truly high-yield space, you aren't just managing water, you are managing thermal buoyancy. Hot air rises. In a vertical garden, the air trapped against the wall or inside the tower heats up and wants to move upward. If your soil is too dense, that heat gets trapped in the root zone. You are essentially slow-cooking your plants from the inside out. The air gap acts as a chimney, allowing that heat to escape. This is why plants in an air gap system can survive a 100-degree day, while plants in a standard plastic pot will wilt by noon. I've seen people try to cheat this by using self-watering reservoirs at the bottom. This is the biggest high-stakes failure warning I can give you. A reservoir at the base of a vertical tower without an internal air column is a breeding ground for the garden ghost. The water sits, the oxygen leaves, and the roots literally drown in their own waste. If you use a reservoir, you must have an active pump or a passive air vent that breaks the surface tension of the water. Do not trust the wicking systems sold in big box stores. They are designed for houseplants, not for high production homesteading. When you are out there in the heat and you smell the deep, rich aroma of a healthy soil ecosystem, you know you've won. There is a specific snap when you harvest a vertical cucumber that has been grown with an air gap. It's crisper, tighter, because the plant hasn't been struggling against a lack of oxygen. It feels heavy in your palm, vibrating with the water. It's managed to pull up against gravity. Now, we have to talk about the result of this work and the reveal of the garden ghost. When you master the air gap, your tiny space stops looking like a collection of pots and starts looking like a living, breathing wall. You begin to see a master signal of balance. The leaves don't just grow, they reach. They tilt at 45-degree angles toward the sun, creating a shingle effect that protects the soil below. This is the vision, a self-sustaining life where you can walk out onto a 6-foot balcony and harvest enough salad greens, herbs, and small fruiting crops to offset 40% of your grocery bill. But what about that garden ghost? What about the pale vein we talked about earlier? That ghostly white line on the underside of the leaf is the signal of atmospheric suffocation. It happens when the humidity inside the vertical foliage becomes so thick that the plant can no longer sweat. If a plant can't transpire, it stops pulling water from the roots. The water sits, the roots rot, and the garden ghost claims the harvest. The pale vein is the plant's last-ditch effort to expand its surface area to catch a breeze. If you see it, it means your air gap is clogged, or your plants are too crowded. It's the hidden signal that the lungs of your garden have collapsed. To fix it, you don't need chemicals, you need vertical thinning. You have to be brave enough to prune away 30% of the inner leaves to let the wind whistle through the center of the tower. The moment you do, that pale vein will disappear within 48 hours, and the growth will double. It's a counterintuitive move, cutting away life to save the harvest, but that is the essence of the farm fresh way. We don't grow for volume alone, we grow for vitality. You aren't just a gardener anymore, you are an architect of the air. You are proving that the limitations of a tiny space are actually just opportunities for more intelligent design. You are taking back control, one vertical foot at a time. This isn't just about food. It's about the refusal to be a bystander in your own survival. When you stand back and look at that wall of green, and you realize that every single leaf is a testament to your understanding of the invisible, that is when the homestead truly begins. It doesn't matter if you have 10 acres or 10 square feet. The laws of the earth are the same. Was the air gap a revolutionary discovery that changed the way you see your plants, or is it just an overcomplicated solution to a problem that better soil should solve? Tell me in the comments.